Thank you for tuning in to IGH260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 5, studying Matthew chapter 5. Before we get started, our programs and study materials are freely downloadable when you click the free menu at internationalgospelhour.com, when you click any IGH260 link at the main page, when you send an email to free@ighradio.com. If you would like to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, just give us a call at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, or if you prefer, you can always use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get into our study of God's Word today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Each of the character traits ascribed to Christ's disciples in the first segment of each beatitude leads eventually, but not immediately, to the promise or benefit that's stated in the second segment. Between the character trait in the first segment and the benefit promised in the second segment, there's an intermediary step that must be taken. In the first beatitude, the poor in spirit, which we see in the first segment, they are said to be in the kingdom of heaven, the second segment. But just having the right spirit about our relative worthlessness compared to God, that does not automatically make us acceptable to God. What occurs between the first and the second parts of each beatitude that secures the connection between a disciple's disposition and the promised benefit? It's the justification afforded to us by the grace of God. When we, in faith and practice, that means the obedience of faith, when we, in faith and practice, submit to God's will, that means that each beatitude demands a surrender on our part, a voluntary submission to God as we give up one disposition contrary to God's nature, and we take up another one that imitates God's nature. When we do so, God grants the promised benefit. That makes each of the Beatitudes a miniature gospel of sorts. We learn truth, in this case, as each Beatitude reveals the kind of person that Jesus wants us to be. We are convinced and we are convicted by that truth, and then we yield to it to become more like God. And God blesses, graces, and benefits us. Blessed are those who mourn. Those who mourn will be comforted. This does not mean that every person who has ever suffered loss of any kind and who mourns as a result of that loss, that they will automatically be comforted. It does mean, though, that in order to be comforted, we must realize that we are in need of comforting. And the realization that we are in need of comforting demands that we first mourn. As Bruce stated it, there can be no comfort where there is no grief. Exactly what does it mean to mourn in this context? Because everyone suffers tragic losses, everyone mourns. But that's not what Jesus means here. Mourning in this verse, similar in some respects to poor in spirit in the prior verse, indicates an awareness of sin, but it also reflects a sadness because of that reality. Mounts applies the term on both an individual and a worldwide level when he says that the term refers to deep regret for their own waywardness and for the evil so prevalent in the world. Bauer, citing 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, spoke of a sense of mourning that was of sorrow for sins one has committed. In that passage, Paul told the Corinthian church, "And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you." Bauer also observed that in this passage, Matthew 5, verse 4, those who mourn do so not for their own sins, but because of the power of the wicked who oppress the righteous. What Bauer noted, specifically the power of the wicked who oppress the righteous, will take on even greater meaning when we reach the end of the Beatitudes. What we noted a moment ago, that mourning indicates both an awareness of sin and a sadness because of sin, comes across in Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, Paul penned these words, "Lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced." Paul's thoughts here are consistent with the "Repent, the kingdom comes" message of both John and Jesus. One other thought here. We noted earlier that God grants grace and that God grants the promised benefit that follows each beatitude. God actively comforts, and Christ's disciples receive that comfort. That active-passive role appears again in "they shall be filled," Matthew 5, 6, "they shall obtain mercy," Matthew 5, 7, and "they shall be called sons of God," Matthew 5, 9. In the declaration of Christ as Messiah, God was active and Jesus was passive. That mirrors what takes place in our salvation. God always active and us always passive. God saves us as we are kept by His power, the active power of His grace through our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And a final thought, we saw that Christ's preaching to the poor in spirit, occurred in fulfillment of prophecy. The passage we cited, Isaiah 61, verse 1, followed, of course, by Isaiah 61, verse 2. Both verses read as follows, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Christ fulfilled preaching good tidings, that's the gospel, to the poor in spirit of Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and Christ fulfilled preaching to all who mourn, Isaiah 61, 2, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are the meek. Those who are meek will inherit the earth. Meekness, like poor in spirit and mourn, refers to an attitude of heart and mind. It's seen in the humble and gentle attitude which expresses itself in a patient submissiveness to offense, free from malice and desire for revenge. It means gentle, lowly, mild, and it refers to those who have been humbled, considerate, unassuming. Meekness does not mean afraid to stand up. It does not mean afraid to stand for God's will. It does not mean afraid to stand against those things that are contrary to God's will. It does, however, reflect an attitude of subordination to something greater than self. That something greater than self, of course, always refers not to something, but rather to someone, or in this case, someones. We rely on the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and on the spiritual principles and truths revealed in and through God's Word. Those who are meek are people who possess no power because they do not need it. They rest their entire hope on God. Instead of trying to overpower others, they serve Him. One translation presents it as those who claim nothing, and another as those whose strength is in their gentleness. And then finally, one translates it as those who renounce the use of force. These meek souls are the same souls that are poor in spirit and that mourn. Indeed, these Beatitudes are not directed to different groups of disciples: the poor in spirit disciples, the mourning disciples, the meek disciples, and so forth. They refer to the same group of people, what we have repeatedly referred to as Christ's kingdom disciples, Christ's kingdom followers. They are disciples of, thus followers of, Christ. And because they are His disciples, they are part of Christ's kingdom. To continue what we just said, these blessed, happy traits belong to those who are the same people, and each of them possesses the spiritual traits presented here. They are qualities, inward qualities, that every kingdom disciple must have. Like the Christian graces that we are to add, as recorded by the Apostle Peter in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and following, we are, as we grow in faith, to add to our faith. We are to add all of these graces, not just one or two, but all of them: virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love are not just options, not just electives, not just a list from which we pick, choose only the ones we like. No, they are essentials, all of them. These blessed, happy disciples, because they are the same people from one beatitude to the next, possess every trait introduced here. And as we are also Christ's kingdom disciples today, so must we. A connecting thought before we continue. Each beatitude extols the virtue of an inward trait, an attitude, a disposition that defines disciples and discipleship. At heart, these attitudes and dispositions are building blocks that make up what we are to be as disciples that are created, that are recreated by Jesus' gospel message of repent because the kingdom is at hand. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of God's Word. As we close, these reminders. If you would like to receive program updates for IGH260, we encourage you to text IGHFREE to 55222. That's text IGHFREE to 55222. If you would like to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, call us at 1-855-IGH-6988.